Our Bible readings today come from 1 Corinthians 9, 19 to 27 and Mark 1, 14 to 19. Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews I become like a Jew, to win the Jews. To those under the law I become like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I become like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak I become weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Do you not know that in the race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. This is the word of the Lord.
We're currently doing our series looking at how we place evangelism at the core of what we're on about as Christians and as a church. And so far we've been reminded that the death and resurrection of Jesus is the best and most important news ever. This is because God has made forgiveness of sins and eternal life possible through Jesus Christ, his Son. And Jesus has passed on to us the responsibility and authority to share the good news. Over the last four Sundays, we've looked at how we need to be continually fed on every word from the mouth of God through spiritual disciplines. We looked at the importance of knowing the gospel inside and out, how we have to move towards mastering the gospel and not just be satisfied with a vague understanding. And adding to this, we looked at the importance of having a good understanding of a few key stories which can help us show how Jesus is relevant to people's lives today. And last week, we looked at the mindset required to become better at sharing the good news. This involves us being ready to share the gospel at all times and actively keeping our eyes open to see the people around us. Today, and for the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at how we conceptualize evangelism. And so we're going to form a picture in our minds of what evangelism looks like. But it's going to be what I call a low-resolution image. Low-resolution images are pictures which give you a general outline to give you an idea of the most important features, but it's too fuzzy of a picture to make out precise details. It's kind of like taking a photo from an aeroplane's window, or for those more up-to-date with technology, using Google Maps. From the satellite view, you can make out, yes, there's my house, there's the street that goes past my place, and there's the shed in the backyard, but if you've got a bucket or something that's in the backyard, or you might see just a fuzzy pixel, but you won't be able to make out what it is because it's just too low resolution. Now, low resolution mental images are really important because they help us to develop a big picture understanding without worrying about all the details. And this way we won't end up not being able to see the forest for the trees. So in a low resolution image, we're looking at the forest rather than the individual trees. You get the idea? So we're going to be looking at what does evangelism broadly look like and involve. Well, shortly after Jesus' baptism, he began to call those who would make up his 12 closest friends and followers, the 12 disciples. These 12 would get to witness everything Jesus would do and say, and even get special times alone with Jesus where he would teach them and share with them something important to help develop their skills and abilities. The first four who Jesus called were Peter, Andrew, James, and John. All four of these men were fishermen. Peter and Andrew were brothers, as were James and John. And all four were business partners. Jesus had begun his public ministry and started preaching in Galilee, sharing the good news and that the kingdom of God was near, as well as encouraging the people he preached to repent and to believe. As Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, he chose to call these four men to be his disciples, saying to them, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Jesus was offering them a new calling and a new purpose to their lives. No longer would they continue in their job of fishing, but instead devote their lives to leading people to Jesus and into the kingdom of God. No doubt the idea of becoming fishers of men was a way of using their previous vocation to relate to their new calling. But I do think there is more to being fishers of men than just this. When fishing, there is a clear intention to what you are doing. It is to catch, usually, as many fish as you can. You cast out your net as widely as you can and with bait and with bait that's tied to it, and then you wait to see what fish come and eat the bait. Or same thing with the rod. You put the bait on the end or the lure, you throw out the line, and then you wait to see if any fish come and nibble at that bait, and then when they do nibble at that bait, you're either pulling in, reeling in your line, or of course you're pulling up your nets to catch the fish. There's strategy involved, there's knowledge involved, that knowledge of where to go and what bait to use. It isn't as simple as just casting a net anywhere and just hoping that or casting your line in and just hope that a fish comes swimming by. Now we have to be careful to not overuse analogies, but there is a lot we can take from this analogy of being fishers of men or of all people. Evangelism isn't done best when we just do or say any old thing. There are ways and techniques and strategies which give a better chance of leading people to Jesus. And we should use these in as effective manner as we can. To continue the fishing analogy, people are drowning in a sea of meaninglessness, brokenness, lostness, of materialism, consumerism, and overall the death in their sins, which they may or may not be aware of. And the goal of fishing and our aim is to catch as many people as we can for Jesus. So like the goal of fishing, our aim is to catch as many people as we can for Jesus. We are to lead the most people we can to Jesus so that they too will share in the eternal life Jesus has won for them. Now I can imagine someone feeling a little uncomfortable about having in the back of their minds an extra motive for maybe being nice to people or striking up a meaningful conversation. You know, and obviously that extra motive is to how can we use this encounter to help that person come to Jesus. So I understand why that might feel a little disingenuous. However, when we care for people and welcome people, we do it just for the sake of being good to those people, without needing any other reason. However, we do also always have in the back of our minds the Great Commission. And when we have the Great Commission in the back of our minds, we don't have an ulterior motive, but as I said, we have an extra motive. And there's a huge difference between those two. An ulterior motive means that you're doing something purely for another purpose other than the one you pretend to be doing it for. So you go to a car salesman and they pretend to be your friend when you're in their showroom. You know, they've been taught how to make you feel comfortable and how to be your chummy buddy while you're there. But it's all for the purpose of making the deal. It's largely all about getting you to sign on the dotted line, not because they want to catch up after work. Whereas an extra motive means that you have two or more genuine motives. We do good for Jesus' sake and for the good of the person. However, we also know that their greatest need is to know Jesus. When the lame man is lowered before Jesus by his friends, remember how they cut out the roof, that story? In that story, we see Jesus meeting the greater spiritual need first. He forgives the man's sin. However, he does also heal the man and enables him to walk. The greater need of the lame man was for his sin to be forgiven. The same is true for every human being. Everyone has needs which need to be met, but we all share a common greatest need, and that is to have our sins forgiven by God. So for that person's sake, we need to have their greatest need in mind. Remember that the Great Commission gives us our primary goal as Christians. We have many good goals as Christians, but we all have the same primary goal of going into the world and making disciples. And remember that our authority for doing so comes from Jesus, the one who God, the Father, has given all authority to in heaven and on earth. So yes, when we are engaging with non-Christians, we have an extra motive of how we can give this person the best opportunity to become a disciple of Jesus. Paul in 1 Corinthians 9, verses 19 to 23, and also into 27, also shares this perspective. The way he put it is that he becomes all things to all people, that he might save some. Now, we do have two important limits on this, becoming all things to all people, which is given to us by Paul. Firstly, although when sharing the gospel with Jews he became like one under the law, Paul clarifies that at no point does he consider himself to be under the law of Moses. Secondly, although in sharing the gospel with people with no knowledge of the law, so Gentiles, he acts and speaks like one with no knowledge of the law, like a Gentile, Paul. But Paul never goes so far as to do things which would break the commandments given by Jesus, to love God fully and to love our neighbours. So Paul gives us the template of how we are to do this fishing of people. We are to become all things to all people and to use all possible means to save people. However, where this means taking on more restrictive practices than Christ requires, we don't adopt these as our practices. We only do them out of respect for the people that we're sharing with. And if the people we're sharing with exhibit behaviours which break the commandments of Jesus, then we're not to engage in these things. We don't go that far with becoming all things to all people. But we are to be flexible. We are to mould what we do and say around those whom we want to share the gospel with. They don't have to become like us or do anything we want them to do first before we start leading them to Jesus. We have to be willing to become like them so that we can better understand who they are and better connect with who they are, and from that position, lead them to Jesus. However, we always maintain a firm understanding of who we are in Christ, and we never break the commandments of Christ. So what this means is that we don't wait for people to be willing to attend church activities before we look at how we might share Jesus with them. If you want to save people who go to the pub, go to the pub and join in with their conversations and whatnot. Just don't break Jesus' commandments while at the pub. And if you can't but help fall into non-Christ-like behaviours in a particular setting, then maybe try a different group of people to reach. If you want to reach the scouts, become a scout. If you have a heart for the Lions Club members, then be interested in community development work. And this works more at a personal level too. If someone is interested in art or science or cars or the environment, then be willing to share in those interests. Be interested for their sake. If someone is a vegetarian, then don't eat meat when you're out with them. If a person needs someone to be like a mother or father to them, then become like a mother or father to them. If they're a farmer, then talk to them about running a farm. You have to be willing to become all things to all people and use all means so that you might save some. So long as you always maintain that firm understanding of who you are in Christ and that you never break the commandments of Christ. But apart from those two things, do whatever it takes. Do whatever it takes. This means, and this is what it means to be fishers of men or fishers of all people. Now, as I see it, there are two main ways to fish for people. There's the fishing with a net technique, and there's the fishing with a rod technique. Fishing with the net techniques are ways in which we can cast a wide net. Maybe as you bump in someone at the shops, you ask them about their week, knowing that they're going to reciprocate with the same question, and you just mention something about church, and just see how they react. These techniques, they're less personal and they require less personal contact. So you can do them with anyone you sort of just come into contact with. Just throw out the bait and see if someone bites. There are many different aspects to this and many different ways to do this. But for now, that's where we'll leave that. And then there are fishing with rod techniques. And this is where there's a specific person you know who you really would like to see become a Christian. So you might be more intentional about developing over time a deeper relationship where you can really start to have conversations about meaning and the struggles that they're having in their lives. And this is more focused and where you're looking at specific steps towards sharing Jesus with them. And again, there are many aspects and many ways to do this. And over the coming weeks, we're going to look and unpack these two broad ways of doing fishing for people. So yes, we are to be fishers of men or fishers of all people. This means we ought to use techniques and strategies and ways to help increase the effectiveness of our leading people to Jesus. Whenever we are engaging with non-Christians, we are always to have an extra motive behind everything we do and say. We want to lead as many people as we can to Jesus. And a key component of this is to become like those we are sharing with. We take on their interests and we respect their beliefs. However, we always maintain a firm understanding of who we are in Christ and we never break the commands of Christ. And there are two main ways in which we will do evangelism. There are the things we do which help cast a wide net over as many people as we can throughout the living of our daily lives. And there are the ways to help us reach specific people who are important to us and whom God has placed on our hearts. So over the coming weeks, that's what we're going to be looking at. Amen.